Brother Putnam will be with us tonight as well. Brother Putnam has preached here many times. He's been a friend for a lot of years, and a lot of good messages I've heard. Last night at dinner, I was telling him that there's one particular message that has always stood out in my my life. And it was talking about his daughter who at Christmas time went to the Nutcracker Ballet. She's always wanted to go, and she went and just had an awesome time. And the next day, she walked into her room and looked at the program to just review all of it, and she screamed out. And her mother and father said, "What's wrong?" She said, "I left during the intermission. There was a whole second half that I didn't see." Church, don't leave during the intermission.
Amen.
Hallelujah. God's getting a people ready for a second act that will be unbelievable. Amen. And so will you welcome our district superintendent, Brother John Putnam.
Praise the Lord, everybody. Amen. It's an honor to be here again today at Apostolic Faith Church. And at our age, it's good to be any place, you know, but we thank God for what he has doing. I'm very, very honored. Boy, am I glad today to have my wife here today. I've been saying this all around the district, but and I do really appreciate, because I know this church was praying for my wife. And but last September, she came down with a heart situation, and her pulse rate was about 180 beats a minute. You may be seated. And I didn't know a thing about atrial fibrillation and a lot of situations with that. They did what they call a cardioversion, where they shocked her heart three times and to get it back into a normal rhythm. And the third time that they did that, it did go into a normal rhythm, but the next morning on November the 3rd, she woke me up at about 6:15, and she's going, "John, John, will you pray for me?" She was having a hard time breathing. I asked her if she wanted to go to the emergency room. She said, "I think I better." Not knowing anything, we didn't know a thing what was going on. I called 911. The ambulance came, took her to the hospital. I followed the ambulance, and I could see my wife. The back of the ambulance, I could tell that she was in great duress. And I'm saying, "God, remember, she can't go before I do." We got to the emergency room at Sheboygan Memorial, and they had me go to a waiting room. They were preparing her. About 5 minutes later, my son came, who is our pastor. And the doctor had just come out as my son came in. And he said, "Mrs. Putnam is in a very unstable condition. She's in respiratory failure." They diagnosed her as having flash pulmonary edema. Her lungs were just filling up with fluid. She was drowning in her own body. And he said, I'm going to have to intubate her, put a tube down her throat, and breathe for her. And my son and I both said, well, can we go in and pray for her? And the doctor said, well, make it quick. And so we walked in, and at that point, she was extremely bloated and very red, and she was on oxygen, but she was still struggling. She couldn't even open her eyes. We prayed, and we went out. The last thing I remember, the doctor said, I'm going to start intubating her now. My son and I went back to the waiting room. We hadn't even sat down yet. And the doctor came out going, wow, I don't know what happened, but she's going to be okay. She's going to be all right. I'm telling you, folks, our God hears and answers prayer. You believe that? Are you a praying people? Amen. There's no little prayer with God. There's no too big prayer with God that he can't handle. I just heard 2 weeks ago, Eau Claire, a young lady not in the church, but she had been abducted by some drug lords in Eau Claire. She was kidnapped, literally, and she's going to be sold as a sex slave into the sex industry. Her grandmother, who does go to the church, not knowing anything about all of this, the day that she was abducted, was working at her job and felt an overwhelming burden to pray for her granddaughter. She excused herself and left work and went home and started travailing before God, not knowing a thing. And it just so happens that a Eau Claire policeman who was called to a domestic situation at an address, he got the wrong address, and he went to the house where this girl was being held captive. And she is at the window in an upstairs bedroom waving at the policeman, and he sees her and makes the motion, help me. And God indeed delivered her from that situation because of prayer. And 2 weeks ago on Sunday morning, we had the privilege of preaching there in Apostolic Faith Church. It's called Faith Church. Amen. That God filled that young girl with the Holy Ghost in Jesus' name. Praise God. It's always good to come to Apostolic Faith Church. Always good to be with Brother and Sister Schumacher. Thank God for them. Thank God for all of you. Thank God for this district. Amen. The church worldwide. Amen. This probably will be the last time that I preach here as your superintendent, because we are stepping aside. We're not allowing our name to run any longer as the superintendent of the district. Don't you think 19 years is long enough? Hopefully your pastor will have me come back and preach sometime. But he'll just have to. This is the used to be guy, but. We are honored to be here. Stand with me if you would now. Well, Jesus, you know. Two 2:30 on yesterday morning, I woke up and couldn't go back to sleep, and all of a sudden God started talking to me about this message. I've never preached this message before. So I know that God specifically has given us this message for somebody maybe all of us in this room. If you have your Bibles, I'd like for you to turn to the fourth chapter of the book of Joshua in the Old Testament, Joshua chapter 4. And then in the New Testament, I'd like for you to, if you would, to turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Thank you, choir, for wonderful singing, good worship singing. Amen. I like worshiping the Lord. How about you? Amen. Verse 4 of Joshua 4 says, "Then Joshua called the 12 men whom he had prepared of the children of Israel, out of every tribe a man. And Joshua said unto them, Pass over before the ark of the Lord your God into the midst of Jordan, and take ye up every man of you a stone upon his shoulder." Folks, I don't believe that this was just a pebble or a rock or a little deal. It was one that they would have to carry on their shoulder, a boulder. "According unto the number of the tribes of the children of Israel, that this may be a sign among you, that when your children ask their fathers in time to come, saying, What mean ye by these stones? Then ye shall answer them, That the waters of Jordan were cut off before the ark of the covenant of the Lord. And when it passed over Jordan, the waters of Jordan were cut off. And these stones shall be a memorial unto the children of Israel forever." Last time I checked, I think we're still in forever. 2 Corinthians 5 and 17, Paul writing to the church at Corinth, he says, "Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things," everybody say, "old things are passed away. Behold, take account of, all things are become new." In your hearing today, I want to speak on this subject, a memorial in the land of promise. A memorial in the land of promise. Would you put your Bibles down? Would you lift up your hands today? And Father, I just pray. God, I just know, Lord God, that you're going to touch here today. I thank you for your goodness and your mercies, your grace and your kindness. I pray, God, that you would speak through me today, Lord. And God, that you would touch every heart and every life. And help us, God, when we walk out of this sanctuary today, that God, that we will not walk out the same way that we came in. But that, Lord, that your will and your grace will have performed, dear God, your word in our lives. We love you, we thank you, and we praise you. And we ask it in the name of above all names, the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. And everybody said, in Jesus' name, amen. Why don't you clap your hands to the Lord? Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. You may be seated. It all started their exodus as the children of God. They came forth from the land of Egypt that was precipitated by taking a sacrificial lamb, taking its blood and putting it on the doorposts of their homes as the last plague against Pharaoh and the land of Egypt. The death angel passed through, and the firstborn of every household that did not have the blood applied passed away. That was the straw that broke Pharaoh's will. And from that, he said, get them out of here. So without a sword drawn, without an arrow shot, without a knife taken from its sheath, Israel walked out a free nation by the hand of Almighty God. A two-week journey from there to the Promised Land. You know the story of them sending spies, 12 of them, 10 coming back and saying, we can't do it. 2 coming back and said, let's go. Faith was outvoted that day. And consequently, Israel struggled for the next 40 years, wandering in a wilderness of sin. And there, all of those that were 20 years and above died without ever stepping foot in the land of promise. But now Moses is deceased. Joshua is in command. And now they have come to the time where they're going to step into what God has promised them for over centuries of time. But before they do, God speaks to Joshua. And he says, I want 12 men chosen by himself from each tribe, that you go back into the Jordan River and you pass there the covenant, the Ark of the Covenant, and you grab a stone, you grab a rock, a boulder on your shoulder, and you bring it to the side of now which we are going to enjoy this land of promise. And I want you to just pile those 12 stones. I don't think that they were piled in any particular way. I don't think it was set up for aesthetic value. I don't think that they did. They just made a pile of rocks. It was never intended to be worshipped. It was never intended that it should be honored or glorified. But it was intended that it be a remembrance of the power of what God can do. Because he said, in times that will come, your children will say, what's with these pile of stones? And you will tell them how God, when the Ark of the Covenant, carried by the priesthood, stepped into the Jordan River, that all of a sudden the water kept flowing and the rest of the flow held back. And Israel, once again, as they crossed the Red Sea, now crossed the Jordan River on dry ground. And it became a miracle of God's power and deliverance of his people. Church, I don't know if you've noticed yet in your walk with God, but God keeps his promises. And God wants all of us to walk into the promised land. Everybody say amen. God had already told them that they were going to drink from wells that they did not dig. He told them that they would live in homes that they did not build. He told them that they would eat fruit from trees that they did not plant. And so it seemed like everything was just laid out for God's kids. They came into the land, but they weren't just to all huddle together. They were to divide the land. They were to possess the land. They were to go through the land. And God had already said, as I drove out, these other tribes from before them, amen, that he would still do that one by one, two by two, however it meant. I'm telling you, there is nothing too hard for our God to do. And I don't know what happened. They got on the other side. They lived in those homes. They drank from those wells. They ate from the trees. Joshua 13:1 says, "Now Joshua was old and stricken in years, and the Lord said unto him, Thou art old and stricken, and there yet very much land to possess." What is keeping them back from fulfilling the promise of God for their life? What's holding them back? And so as they divide by lots the land and to the bigger tribes or to be given the bigger portions, we find that each one struggled. They struggled evicting the Canaanites and the Hittites and the Perizzites and all the otherites. Matter of fact, it tells us in the 15th chapter of Joshua, as for the Jebusites, the inhabitants of Jerusalem, the children of Judah could not drive them out. But the Jebusites dwell with the children of Judah at Jerusalem unto this day. And if I'm not mistaken, my friend, the Jebusites are the forerunners to what we know as the Palestinians today. And then in the 18th chapter of Joshua, in verse 3, it says, "And Joshua said unto the children of Israel, How long are you slack to go to possess the land which the Lord your God of your fathers hath given you?" What's happened? Did they lose their zeal once they got into the land of promise? Did they lose their commitment? They had stepped and they saw the miracle that took place. But now while they're on the other side, and what they see that has been provided, have they now become lazy to fight for the rest, so that they can literally fulfill the will of God to be possessors of the promise of God? Church, that may have happened thousands of years ago, but I don't think it's too different for you and I in this same situation. My Bible tells me, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things, everybody say old things, are passed away. Amen. Some of us used to be very horrific people, gamblers, amen, perversions, drug addicts, alcoholics, and such were some of all of us. But bless God, God gave us his mercy, his grace, and brought us, amen, into his promised land. Exceeding great promises. Isn't it amazing, Brother Schumacher, when we first get the Holy Ghost? I mean, just how happy we are, how excited we are. Huh? We just want to stand up and hug somebody, or, you know, we walk out of church, the big smile, the really something great's happened. Amen. You remember that experience? Huh? And those, they say 6 months, soul winners, those early converts are the most productive in reaching other people in the first 6 months of their experience. Why? Because they're excited. They've come into something. They've come into a peace that they have never experienced before. They've come into love that they've never experienced before. You know what I'm talking about. But what happened? What do you mean, Brother Putnam? I'm here in church today. Well, you know what? The land that we have got to conquer, you're living in it. Oh, Brother Putnam, I don't drink anymore. I don't smoke anymore. I don't gamble anymore. I don't carouse anymore. And if I'm hitting anything that you're doing, well, you got to quit doing it. But how about anger issues? How about secret sins? How about areas of your life that maybe you have not yet conquered? Boy, you sure are quiet today. Huh? It says, behold, all things. Everybody say, all things become new. That word become is geheomhe in Greek. It means prolongation. Prolongation is the noun form of the verb prolong, which means to lengthen out, to continue. Amen. Like a scope that keeps on scoping out. Church, I don't know about you, Brother Bear, I don't know about you, but God didn't change everything in me that day that I got the Holy Ghost. Can I get a witness? Huh? You got to keep on. You got to keep on. You got to be willing to keep fighting the good fight of faith. Amen. God wants us to be whole. I don't know any of us that has arrived yet. I've been living for God now for 47 years. Amen. And you know what? I still got problems. Anybody in this house have problems? Anybody have some situations in your life, maybe words that come out of your mouth that you know that they shouldn't be, or indeed, amen, maybe strong words one to another, or however you're living. I'm telling you, God wants us to conquer the land. But what happens? I love church. I love church. But sometimes we just get weary in fighting. And so just like them, we start justifying our mistakes. And rather than continue to fight, we coexist. And we get used to coexisting until what we should have defeated that lifts its ugly head in our being. And then where do we go? Where do we go? We make a beeline to a remembrance place. Anybody in here thank God for an altar? To an altar. Because you see, my friend, it's at the altar where you begin to remember, oh yes, this is where I got my start. This is where God indeed took, amen, and changed my life and allowed me to step in. And he filled me with his promise of the Holy Ghost. And bless God, amen, for 47 years, you got to keep on struggling. You got to keep on fighting. You got to keep on overcoming. Am I making sense to anybody in the house today? Any would-be contractors in here? Home contractors? I don't mean that professionally. I mean you just do projects at home. Hello? Come on, let me see your hands. Now, I'm not going to ask you to raise your hands in this next one. Have you ever started a project? Started a project with all intentions of finishing it. But you get so far, maybe you run out of money, maybe you run out of time, and pretty soon that unfinished thing you get very used to looking at one of these days. I've seen churches, all the great intentions of building a new building, and maybe they couldn't afford to put this one more part of the church in. And so, we'll get to it. We'll get to it. I can remember when we built the church in Monroe, amen, and some of the board members of the church were saying, well, you know, we don't have to pave the driveway right now. And I said, oh, yes, we do. Because if we don't pave it now, we'll never pave it. Amen. And I don't want people going by on Highway 11, was it? Highway 11, seeing dust clouds going all over the place when people are leaving our church, amen, and dirtying up their cars. But you know what? I've seen churches that had all the good intentions of paving their driveway. But you know what? 15, 20 years later, it's still unpaved. I'm trying to speak to somebody in this house today. God is trying to get through to you, my friend, that there's some things in your life that you need to turn over to God and quit just agreeing with it. Quit just being comfortable with it. But you know that it hurts you. You know that it's damaging to you. But thank God. Thank God for a place of remembrance. Lord, thank you, God. Thank you, Jesus. The scriptures say something like this, and I don't think they're just written in here. You know, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye may be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. And beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith. Everybody say, add to your faith. Virtue, moral excellence. And to virtue, knowledge. Study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. And to knowledge, temperance. And to temperance, patience. Oh, God, I need patience, and I need it now. And to patience, godliness. To godliness, brotherly kindness. And to brotherly kindness, charity or love. For if these things be in you, in me, and abound, they make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. Wherefore, the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election, what? Sure. For if you do these things, ye shall never fall. For an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Wherefore, I will not be negligent to put you always in remembrance of these things, though ye know them and be established in the present truth. Stand with me today. God has placed a memorial in the land of promise in our lives. Paul wrote to the Galatians and he said, this I say, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary one to the other, so that ye cannot do the things that ye would. But if ye be led of the Spirit, ye are not under the law. We all know what the works of the flesh are. Adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revilings, and such like. Of the which, Paul says, I tell you before, as I have told you in the time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. I am 68 years old next month. Young guy. I don't have anything to prove to anybody except Jesus Christ. I don't have to try to prove what I believe in. God, after 19 years, if people don't know what I believe, then they have missed the whole deal. But what I'm saying, church, it's time that we possess the land. It's time that we quit giving excuse to our shortcomings. It's time that we quit protecting that sin that nobody else knows about but God and you. Because we're to exhibit love and joy and peace and long-suffering and gentleness and goodness and faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And they that are Christ, and they that are Christ, have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. If you live in the Spirit, then let us also walk in the Spirit. Anybody need to come to a place of remembrance today? Anybody need to make some honest things with God? Anybody need to possess more of your land and be willing to recognize that there is a memorial in the land of promise in your life? And thank God for it. Hallelujah, Jesus. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us. Let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. Apostolic Faith Church, the altar is our memorial. It started with a sacrificial lamb on Calvary's cross, Jesus Christ. But he gave us an altar. We are to remember what Jesus Christ has done for us. Let us therefore come boldly under the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and grace to help in the time of need. Would you lift your hands and your voices to God right now? Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, God. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Jesus. God, Lord.